Welcome to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program with your host, Tony Peters. I hope you'll enjoy today's segment.
And that really gets into what you're talking about with Jeremiah 29:11. And people do misquote it, and people misquote so many verses. They take them out of context. And I think you've kind of touched on it, but what's the real heart and meaning behind Jeremiah 29:11 in its proper context, not one that people take out of context?
I mean, what I take out of it is just basically whether when you're going through a hard time or trial or tribulation, God tells us, like, hey, yes, you're going through this hard time. Yes, we're going through this trial. You're going through this trial, but I want you as my children to know that I have a future of hope for you and not to harm you. So, and I believe that verse also, the plans that he has for us, we're not going to know the plans he has for us if we're not connected with him. Like, we have to be connected and loving him with all of our heart, seeking him first, right? Love like you've never been hurt. Like, live like Christ, be Christ follower. And you're not going to see the plans of hope and of hope if we're not following him. We have to be connected to him and follow him, and then we will see the plans that he has for us. If we're not connected with him and we're not doing what he wants us to, then we will never, kind of like the Israelites, we'll never get to see our promised land, or we won't see that future of hope because he didn't do it. Sometimes we give up right before God's going to give us that miracle, right? We got to keep going. We can't quit. Your miracle, your blessing could be right around the corner. And a lot of times people get tired. They're like, I've waited and I've prayed for so long and I'm just tired of waiting. I'm giving up on God. And that could be right where he was getting ready to bless you or give you your miracle.
Yeah. And so, I think that part of that too is people expect the prayer and the answer to be like almost immediate, or they expect it to be one way. And it's like, God's like, what you are viewing as the answer to prayer is not what I am giving you. I'm giving you something so much better. You just have to, it's like the prophets in Revelation say, those who have ears, let them hear, or let them listen, however your translation is. But it's so much about that listening and being like, God, I'm going to give you time where I'm just going to listen for you to speak to me. And I was praying that this weekend about culture and society, praying for that healing in our culture and our society. And I'm like, God, how did we get to this point? How are we where we are right now? And the answer did pop into my head immediately. And probably because I already knew the answer before I prayed it. And it was because man sinned. And that led into further, because we've taken God out of our lives and we've put objects or money or whatever into the place where God should be. And then I asked him again, I'm like, okay, so God, how do we get past this? How do we find healing in society so that we can move forward? And again, the answer came pretty quick. Which is not usually how, when I pray, I don't usually get answers really quick. It usually does take some time. But the answer was, man needs to turn back to me. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, wow. It's just like, it was this revelation. It's like, yeah, in our lives we need to turn back to God. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, as a church, we've done the same thing and we've fallen into society's traps, the devil's traps. And it's like, no, we need to turn back to God. And that's where I've called for revival so many times, but we need it in the church. We need to wake up and we need to follow God and listen for what he wants in our lives. Like Jeremiah 29:11 is talking about, following what God is putting forth before us, not our own will and our own wants. No, that comes second. We will find happiness in Christ because he has promised that he will give us what we need. He knows the amount of feathers on a sparrow. He knows the amount of sand, the amount of stars. He knows all of that. And if he knows all of that, he knows the exact amount of hairs we have on our head. I know I'm getting fewer hairs all the time, but he knows how many are there. And if he knows all that and he takes care of the sparrow, he will take care of us. We do have to just listen. And that comes into application of Jeremiah. You were really touching well on the application part of Jeremiah. Do you have anything further to add on applying Jeremiah to our own personal lives and our walk with Christ?
No, you were just talking. You said something about, you know, we true happiness is in Christ. And I just want to point out, like, we have joy and happiness is two different things, right? Like, our joy is in the Lord. We can be happy, like, things can make us temporarily happy, right? But when we have joy, that can be eternal. Like, that joy, like, if you're in sorrow right now, you can have that joy even in sorrow. And I remember the first time someone told me that as I was walking this path, I'm just like, how? Like, I'm so numb. I am so hurt. I can't see the light in the tunnel. How can I ever feel joy again? But that's when you have that connection with God, that when you make him your true happiness, your true joy, and not quit putting happiness in people. Cause you know what? We're always going to let somebody down. I'm going to let somebody down. You know, when God brings someone else in my life someday, they're going to let me down. I'm going to let them down. We're, like you said, God is, though, he's perfect. Nobody else is perfect. We're human. So we're all going to let people down in our life. So when we put our happiness in somebody, we're going to be let down. So I've learned my true joy is coming with him. But for Jeremiah 29:11, my main thing that I have learned and God's been teaching me is basically, yes, I have a hope and I have a future for you. You need to stay connected with me. So you know what that future is that I have for you, and go get it. And it's going to be work. It's not, none of this is easy. It's simple, but it's not easy.
Yeah. Well, and God never promises easy. And so many people, when they get into Christianity, or that they're like, I'll just accept Christ, and then everything will just happen. It'll just I'll just roll out there. And it's like, no, God never promises that. In fact, he promises the exact opposite. He promises persecution, and he promises pain. But he's there, like we were talking about before, he's there with us through it all. And I was just writing down a quote that popped into my head when you were talking about happiness and joy. Happiness is temporary, joy is eternal. I forget which of my pastors had said that, and he was quoting somebody else. So I'm not sure where that original quote comes from, but one of my pastors had used that in one of his sermons, and I was like, yeah, that is so true. And that's why as Christians, we shouldn't be chasing after the temporary things of this world. We have an eternal promise, and that is heaven. That's our goal. That's what Peter and Paul, and that's why they compare it to a race. And we need to finish strong. And Paul, especially, like, he was a great example of that, because he went through so much. All the apostles did after they left Christ. Even when they were with Christ, they suffered a lot of persecution. And they talk about Christ in the temples, but imagine what it was like being those apostles in those situations with Christ when he was challenging the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and things got heated. You can just imagine how uncomfortable they were, because these were people they would have respected. They would have known these names as Jews. They would have been like, yeah, I know these people, and I'm just going to back away two steps now. Like, you just said what? And it should be for us, when Christ fills us, we should be expecting that there is going to be that persecution. We're going to feel some of that. And it isn't all about chasing the next high, the next thing that's going to make us happy. I've, with PTSD, I've a lot of problems with that. I just really, it's what's going to make me happy next. And you lose sight of Christ. Christ is what's going to make me happy. When you really get into it, prayer walks and stuff, with all the smoke, it's been a struggle. I like spring and summer because I can do prayer walks. Well, I haven't got to do it that much this year. But just finding that time for Christ and being like, I'm going to commit this much every day. I know life is busy, especially with kids. We have two kids, and my son is in wants to be in everything. And my daughter is pretty much the same thing. What she wants to be in has still been closed for some reason with COVID. Gymnastics outside has been closed. But so she's been like, that's what she really wants to get into. She doesn't want to get into competitive. She just wants to do it because she enjoys that. And you watch her, and she can do she can touch her ankles going backwards in a bridge. And I'm like, if I did that, I'd be stuck. how are you doing that right now? And so it's just, it's amazing watching your kids, and they can really just put things into perspective for you. And that's why, like you mentioned, you're both your kids are getting married now, so you can expect grandkids are possibly down the road here. And it's just that joy of watching them grow and being like, this is an example of how we should be like with Christ. And I see that with my kids when they're with trying to fill them with biblical education. It's like, okay, so why are we not trying to do that with our own lives as adults? We want to teach our kids, but then we're not setting an example by doing it in our own lives. And so that, I think, is another important lesson, is making time for Christ. And right. If you make time, it's all in.
I put in here, I just posted on my social media. I put, could you imagine if we checked in with God as much as we check in on our phones?
Yes.
So when we say, you know, try to fit God in, God doesn't want us to try to fit him in. he should be surrounded through our whole day, and we should be fitting everything else into God. Right. And so, you know, I even have on, you know, my screensaver on my phone, it says check in with God. So every time I open my phone,
that's good.
You know, check in with God, because we have time to be on our phones, right? Like, a lot of people are like, we're so busy, I don't have time to do all of this. But if we sit down and add up all the time that we were on social media, or that we watch TV, or different things that really, really don't matter, we probably surprise ourselves on how much time we're wasting a day. And that time, if we give that time that we were on social media to God, wow, like, how much more time would God have of us that day, right? Yeah. So
Zuckerberg knows. there's a joke that goes around on that. I'm not even sure how it started, but it says Zuckerberg knows when you poop, is what it is, because people take their phone to the bathroom.
Right.
Which,
so are we taking God everywhere we go? Right?
Exactly. It shows the dependence. And that's why I like that quote, even though it's kind of crass, but I like that meme or that joke, because we, like you say, we have time for our phone. And people are like, oh, I don't have time to sit there and do prayer. And it's like, God's not asking for a long allotment for prayer.
Right.
And people who have listened to the podcast, I know you're probably sick and tired of hearing this, but you can pray anytime, anywhere. And if I hear a siren going off, I usually say a little prayer in my head right away, be like, God, I just help those people right now. And any family who's impacted by whatever's going on, just give them peace. And that's, you can pray when you're stuck in rush hour traffic. Or you can listen to a podcast or your Bible app, put it on audio, listen to Christian audiobooks. There's so much you can do to make time for Christ. And we have time, especially if you live in a big center where you get rush hour traffic all the time. You've got time to pray. Right. You've got time to listen to biblical things, podcasts, my own podcast, listen to the podcast, or just your Bible app. Like, have a Bible or a devotional. I know you can listen to, there's so many biblical people you can listen to that know so much and can really enrich your life. And so it's like you say, making that time. Like, are we actually making an effort in our relationship with Christ, or are we just sitting back and waiting for things to happen? And that's same with missionary people. Like, I view missions as going overseas and all this. And it's like, no, you can be a missionary at your job site. You can be a missionary. And yes, you may get fired for sharing the word of God at Christ. But I think as Christians, that's something that we need to be willing to be like, okay, if I'm going to lose my job for sharing Christ with someone at work, that's obviously something that God has called. And if we lose our job, God will help us find a way to get through it. And that kind of leads to direction. After you lose your job, you probably felt lost, I would imagine. So how did you come about to really having your eyes open to what direction God is leading you into? And going forward, where do you see God taking you? And I know that's kind of a loaded question, but where do you see God at this moment showing you he wants you to go?
Okay, so I'm going to start back in December of last year, 2022. I'm a part of a mentoring program, and we pick a word and a mantra for the year, right? And I was praying over that, like, God, what's my word going to be for 2023? And he just spoke to me and he said, now. I'm like, that's not, that's not a very fancy word to, like, I wanted something, you know, different, unique. And God's like, now. And I'm like, now, like, why now? And all I heard him say is time is short. And I'm like, okay. And then I created a mantra around that saying, I'm not going to be so busy creating an amazing future that I miss 1 million nows. I'm content and grateful and living my life, knowing my identity is in Christ. And I am serving my purpose, knowing that God has fully equipped me to do so right now. And when I wrote that last sentence, I didn't truly feel that, but God gave that to me because I didn't feel like I'm fully equipped, because I knew that God in my future was going to have me speak and to be a coach alongside other people walking through the pain I was went through. And, but I thought that was a couple years down the road. And so in December, when he gave that to me, I still kind of thought that was going to be down the road. Well, January 10th comes around and I lose my job. Now, I had overcome loneliness from the divorce already. I was doing great. Like, you know, I got my own home. I moved in and I'm all by my, like, I live by myself and I've been great. And then I lose my job. I worked with some amazing people. Like, my job, they let go of a couple of us because they're restructuring and everything. And I worked with an amazing group of people. So I didn't necessarily miss the work because the work was kind of just mundane and it didn't really, like, fulfill me anyway. But it paid the bills and stuff. And, but when I lost my job, I'm like, now I get up in the mornings and where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I'm not going to be around people in the morning. I missed. So the loneliness, man, caved in on me big time again. And I was, you know, God had to work on me and grow me and stretch me. And he still does every day. So I've overcome that again. But as I'm applying for jobs, I send out 200 resumes, right? I hear from two. I had one one-on-one interview, great interview, great money would have come with it. I was so excited about it. And I'm like, God, I got to a point after like 2 or 3 weeks of not hearing from them. I'm like, whether the answer be yes or no, I'm going to be okay. But if you say no to this job, I'm going to take it that you want me to go all in. And at the time, it kind of made me nervous because I've never started a business. I don't know how to do any of this stuff. And so a week later, they came back and they said, you know what? We interviewed so many great people and we just had a hard time. We usually don't take this long, but we went with another candidate. And I was just like, okay, God, like, so I went and got my certificate to be a divorce coach immediately. I had already been working with a speaking company who for 3 months was helping me. Like, I was gathering my testimony, writing my testimony, getting a website built. I was doing all of these things. And, you know, all these things take money and I'm not making money, right? So I'm like, God, like, if this is what you want me to do, you have to provide. And I could sit here all day and tell you how he provided for that. Even like things just started coming. Like I would take a step of obedience and the next day someone would reach out and say, hey, God led me to send this to you. Or my mortgage company would call and say, hey, you have this huge escrow, which never happens, right? Usually it's a shortage, but I had this huge escrow and they sent me this huge check back to me. So God just kept providing, saying, daughter, you're taking the right steps. Don't hesitate. Keep walking in this path. I'm like, okay. And I would keep walking and then I would hit where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, seriously, like, is this truly you, God? Am I really hearing you right? This is what you want me to do. I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. And he just over and over keeps telling me I'm doing the right thing. So what do I see in my future? Well, I have started my coaching business and I just started a pilot program, Hope and Healing After Divorce. And it's an 8-week long program. And I just started the session last week. So we have 7 more weeks of that. I'm in the process of like getting a sales funnel together and all these kind of things going on. So what do I see? I mean, I see myself being able to help 7 to 10 people a month coaching, and then being able to go to speaking events and speaking to hundreds of people and helping them get onto their path of healing. Because 1 out of every 2 marriages are ending in divorce. And when I hear that, my heart breaks because I know the pain and the hurt and the devastation that brings. And if I can be a help to one person, I mean, if all of this that I'm doing, because I feel God doing this, talent leading me this way, if it was only one person, I mean, I know I've touched more than that already, but if it was only one person, to me, it's worth it because I'm doing what God has put in my heart to do. And so that's what I see my path and my purpose. And right now, like speaking is right here in Texas for right now, but then I could, in the future, I can see me just speaking all over, like starting over the US and then eventually probably to different countries or whatever. But that's what I envision. And that's what I feel like. I just want to serve and love people because that's what God has put us on this earth to do. He has me here for a reason. I have gotten through 100% of my trials because I'm still here. So I can get through the rest that he's going to have us here on earth for. So is this scary? Yeah, it's scary. Is it been the most fulfilling thing I've ever done in my entire life? Yes. I can't think of a, let me share a really quick story. The other day, I walk every morning, kind of like you said, in the spring and summer, I do a God walk. I call it a God walk. And I talk to God the whole time. I come up on this lady that I've never seen before. And God kind of prompted me and said, just befriend her. So as I'm walking past her, I smile and I say, good morning. And I just keep walking. And I don't think anything of it, right? The next morning, I see her walking in front of me again. And I'm like, and God, the Holy Spirit was just like, I need you to tell her God still sees her. And I'm like, okay, like, is that the Holy Spirit in me or is that just me? And I keep walking. I walk past her. And I take about 10, 15 steps in front of her. And the Holy Spirit's like, I need you to go back and tell her God still sees her. And I'm like, but God, like, if I turn around right now, I will look like a real, I will look like an idiot. And he's like, I need you to go back and tell her God still sees her and he's going to see her to the end of her struggle. And then I was like, okay, God, okay, I'm going to obey. I turned around. I started walking towards her. I'm like, God, help me. I need your help in this because this is uncomfortable for me. Like, this is out of my comfort zone. And I go up to the lady. She takes her earbud out. And I said, you're probably going to think I'm crazy. And she goes, no, what? And I'm like, okay. I said, the Holy Spirit, I feel like, is leading me to tell you that God still sees you. And she puts her hand on her heart and she starts crying. And I said, he wants you to know that he's going to be with you to the end of the struggle, whatever that may be. And she starts crying harder. And she goes, I'm getting ready to go through a divorce next week. And now I start crying because God used me. He picked me to help her. To walk, continue walking the path she's walking. And she texted me that morning and said that her doctor said that she's never seen her attitude be so positive in a long time. When we listen to the Holy Spirit inside us and we obey him, there's a huge domino effect that takes place. And when we don't do what he says to do, there's also a huge domino effect that happens. So God basically was telling me, Deborah, you keep questioning me if doing this business is what I want you to do. And I just proved to you that you're hearing me right. So keep walking this path. Keep helping other people because that's what I want you to do.
Yeah. And I think that is a great message. And there's a couple of real big things I pulled out of what you were saying. I was just writing them down. And one of them was that we get so busy focusing on the future that we miss the blessings of today. Again, that's another quote from one of my pastors. But yes, pastors, I do listen to you. That is something that if you had been so focused on that, you would have just kind of ignored those nudgings. Right. And that comes into the next thing that I really pulled out, which was another great thing. And that is another thing my pastors have said. God provides. He knows your needs. He doesn't necessarily give you what you want. He gives you what you need. And he's shown me that so much. Since I've been on disability for a few years and just been unable to work, and just the pressure that comes with that, being like, I'm not providing properly for my family. And I just feel like, yes, I'm getting a small disability check, but it's not what I used to bring in. I'm not getting the sales bonuses that I used to get because I was a top salesman. I'm not getting all that extra income. So it's been really, really hard. But at times when we've been just like, God, I don't know where our next meal is going to come from. I don't know how we're going to fill our shelves. The church has helped provide money at just the right time. People within the church have dropped gift cards in our mailbox. And it's just like somebody put a Walmart gift card in our mailbox for $200. And we were just like, we were on our way to Walmart when we checked that. And it was like, just God just showing you time and time again. And there's somebody else who does listen to the podcast, and he provides ground beef. He's a farmer. So he just like, text me whenever you need ground beef. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, when he first texted us that, my wife had just been talking to me about needing ground beef again and how expensive ground beef has gotten. Then he texted us and just like, God, you just continually show us, you know, our needs, you know, it when we, it may not come exactly into the timing that we think it should, but you know, when we need that. Right. And it's just those eye-opening moments. And I call them God moments. And you're talking about your God walk. I call them prayer walks, is what I usually go on. Another friend of mine from the States, he does call it a God walk as well. I'd been on one, and I used to play Pokemon Go as well, until it got to be too addicting, so I quit. But this lady just stopped me, and she's like, I see you walk by my house every single day. What are you doing every single day? I'm like, I'm praying. I'm playing Pokemon Go a little bit too, but I said, I'm mostly praying and listening to what God has to say to me. And then she's like, I'm a Christian too. She's like, that's really encouraging to hear that. And then she walked away, and it's just like, you just don't know the impact you're going to have on people's lives. You may never know that impact, but you know, it's important if we follow what God is calling us to do, that, you know, just trust that God knows.
That's right.
And God will make it happen. Mm-hmm. So I do thank you for coming on. We are running out of time here. Just want to give you a chance to give a shout out. Where can people find you online? Cause I know you're just trying to get your business up and running here. So
yes, they can find me at DeborahJoySpeaks.com. If they want to set up a consultation or just reach out to me and have questions or whatever, I do have a thing on my website there where you can click on the calendar and set up a meeting with myself, and it would be a free consultation. So if you're interested in speaking more, or you can just reach out to contact me on my website and send me an email and say, hey, if you have a question or whatever, just reach out to me and I'll get back to you. I do have a TikTok. I do have an Instagram. Instagram is Deborah Joyce Speaks. And then my TikTok is Don't Get Stuck in the Suck. So that is my tagline for my business, because that's what keeps us from our healing, is getting stuck in the suck, right? So yeah, that's where they can find me.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on again. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Cool Explorations podcast and radio program. I hope that you've enjoyed today's segment, and I hope that you'll consider supporting us at Cool Explorations on Patreon, as well as you can shoot me an email at tpeters745@gmail.com if you'd like to support in other ways other than Patreon.